Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. It's episode number 8. Hi, JP. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. Hi, Daniel. And hello to everybody listening. Great to be here. I think we've got a fun topic today.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about the Ironman Hawaii 223. And we're doing a short summary of what happened. On October the 14th, Lucy Charles Barclay broke the course record and became the new world champion in Kona. Annie Haug, who was also in the wind tunnel with Swisside, ran into second place, and our Swisside pro athlete Laura Phillip became third in the world. So we also had Daniela Riff with our custom-made cockpit in fifth position, and Lisa Norden with the complete Swisside setup. So yeah, Swisside from head to toe in ninth place. That was a great, great outcome for our pro women. JP, you were in the wind tunnel with a lot of the women in the top 10, actually, and you saw the full race. What is your summary of this year's Ironman Hawaii?
Yeah, I think it was an amazing race. It was I was stuck on the TV for the full 8.5 hours.
Me too.
Yeah, it was amazing. And in the end, the race result is absolutely correct. You know, I think Lucy on her fifth attempt, she was all in, you know, full risk. We'll talk about that afterwards, but absolutely deserved race win, untouchable. She, you know, obviously had an incredible performance, and that was great for her. Fantastic to see Laura finally make it to the podium in third spot. She was certainly one of my tips to have a chance to win. And I think that's what was so exciting about this year's Ironman in Kona, is there were about five women that, or more, that could have won. And it was impossible to really say who could it be. You know, was it Lucy Charles Barclay? Was it Anna Howe? Was it Daniela Reef? Was it Laura Phillip? You know, Taylor Nibb came from nowhere, but people were like, this girl's quick. You know, Chelsea Sodaro, last year's world champion. There were just so many big names, nobody sick, everybody making it to the start line. And it was a fast day. There was not a lot of wind. It was, you know, I was glued to that TV thinking, how the hell is this race going to pan out? It was wild.
Yeah, pretty wild. It was as always. So Lucy Charles right in front from the gun. And it was like a thriller again, because everybody was like, okay, Lucy's doing it again. She's going into the front right away in the water, then on the bike, giving her absolutely everything. And then, surviving on the run. But this year, she was not only surviving on the run, she really paced it pretty, pretty well until the finish line. Only Anna Haug was again coming up, and with only, I guess, 3 minutes of difference in the end. So Lucy was quite lucky that Anna had not the best swim in her career, not the best bike, actually. What was the most unexpected thing for you in the race?
Well, I think you just touched on it. The most unexpected thing for me was that Lucy Charles Barclay didn't blow up. Now, we talk about the power of the group in triathlon racing, in Ironman racing. Now, we like to say that Ironman's an individual sport, but the fact, again, the laws of physics are that there's still a big drafting effect, even with the 12-meter distance rule. These girls are seeing 20 watts drag saving when they're in the group. So being in a group is so important. And when you're doing a 4.5-hour bike ride, to save 20 watts for 4.5 hours is huge. And quite simply, that helps you run faster at the end. So if you're Lucy Charles Barclay and you're out the front on your own and you're having to push 20 more watts than anyone else behind you to maintain your gap, that's a huge energy consumption, additional energy consumption, which is going to cost you on the run. So the most unexpected thing for me was, again, that it was clear that Lucy was going to come out of the water first. That's her major strength. She's an amazing swimmer. it was clear that she was going to go hard on the bike, but I expected her to be caught on the bike. But then when she went full on all the way to the transition, I thought, okay, she's going to be cooked. She'll get somewhere, maybe kilometer, maybe half marathon, maybe kilometer 30, and then she's going to get eaten up by Anna Haug, by Laura Philipp, by Chelsea Sodaro, the power runners, and we see it time and time again. You know, it's becoming a running race at the end. And the fact that she held it through to the finish, like the additional energy that she put out to make that possible is simply huge, and shows the strength, and her level was just simply above anybody else in the race on that day. It maybe combined with the fact that, you know, psychologically, mentally, she had a really strong day, and maybe the girls behind didn't have the best day. So yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah, to see Lucy, yeah, smash it. And of course she broke the record because she was all in full risk. The race was 5 kilometers longer. Who knows what would have happened, but it's not. And she won, and she deserves it.
Yeah, she totally deserves it, even with an the injury she had. I don't know if you saw pictures of her calves after the race, and they were like blue and yellow. And as she started to the marathon, she yelled at the people on the sidelines, it's bad, it's pretty bad. But she made it. So that's like a total mentally challenge also.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you compound, like, you know, what was the unexpected thing? And I said, you know, that Lucy made it to the finish without blowing up. You know, she's in the last years, like so many athletes, she's been quite injury prone. And, you know, she's coming into the race with some kind of a niggling injury. You know, again, how does that affect her in the race? There were so many reasons why she could and should and would probably blow up, but she didn't. And that's what makes her performance that much more amazing and in some ways unexpected, but deserved.
Besides the performance of Lucy, who or what surprised you the most?
I think two things. I think everybody else was, I'd say everyone was performing on a high level. So I'd say the expectations were kind of met there. But what surprised me the most was Taylor Nibb. I mean, she's come out of nowhere. She'd never done a long distance Ironman, a long distance triathlon. And to be honest, I found that actually quite controversial because I don't think you should let an athlete loose for the first time in Kona, because I think there's a high risk on your health by doing that. You know, it's for anyone who hasn't been to Kona and experienced the race either as an athlete or from the sidelines, it is bloody brutal. I mean, I've ridden the bike course and I blew up riding the bike course, you know, let alone having to swim before and run afterwards. And it's so hot, and particularly on this race this year, there was almost no wind, which made it, you know, Energy Lab was just crazy hot. And, you know, to go there and you know, like Taylor, having never done a long distance, like, you know, you always say that in Kona the experience plays a huge role, because, you know, the fourth discipline is always your nutrition, how you take your nutrition, how you take your salts, when you hydrate, when you eat. And this course is so special, and how your body reacts to this course, who knows? And I thought there is absolutely no chance in the world that Taylor Nibb can do a solid performance, like not can do a podium performance. Yeah. You know, I certainly believed she can be in the top 10, absolutely, because she's clearly a massive talent. But that she can push at the front of the race, you know, and hold that second place for so long, and that she only blew up what it was at, like, you know, kilometer 37, 38, I think was just absolutely amazing. So that was, for me, by far the most surprising thing. But at the same time, I do believe it's a bit controversial, because I don't think athletes should be doing their first long-distance triathlon in Kona. I don't think that's safe, and I don't think it's also right for the sport.
Yeah, crazy thing. I was pretty surprised by Taylor stopping at a special needs station. for about 20 seconds or something, just stopping with the bike, taking her time. I think that was something that showed that she's a pretty adaptive athlete also, because she knew I'm here in a long distance race, and even if I take 20 seconds to put on my bottle ride and grab my nutrition, I don't lose too much time. We will see a lot of more long distance races from her in the future, and I bet she's coming back for a lot of great performances. So one to have an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most of the athletes out there are probably now quite scared. And if she wasn't on their radar, she certainly is now.
yeah, true. But Taylor blew up, helped Laura to finish on the podium in third position. And she did one hell of a race on the bike. She had to make up so much time because she lost a bit in the swim. And then she ride into this big group, this amazingly big group. Nobody can, I just saw it on TV when the three of them passed all of the complete group, and it was so long. But they made it, and they worked so hard on the bike. And then she had a good run after that. So, what would have been if she had a better swim and reached another group in the front, more in the front? We will see in the next years, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, to be honest, that was also something interesting in terms of the race dynamic, is that it was such a big group. And that was actually a problem. And that played into Lucy Charles Barkley's hands, because the group wasn't really pushing too hard or working too hard together to close down the gap to the front. Mm-hmm. And the biggest problem in the group is, for those people that don't know, but when you start to overtake, you have to overtake everybody, because otherwise if you pull in, you get penalized for what's called slotting in and blocking, and you can get a 5-minute penalty for this. And so I think this group was something 16 riders long, all strung out with, 12 plus meter gaps, right? So you've got, it's probably in the end 120, 140 meter long group, and you have to get out of the draft. You have to power to get past this whole group, and you're not allowed to slot in anywhere. Mm. So you have to pick a spot where you can absolutely push through, and you have to be committed to do that. Otherwise, if you pull out halfway through and start to slot back, then you haven't completed the overtake, then you also get a penalty. So the rules, to be honest, in my opinion, are a little bit dumb in that respect. The only way it works is if you've got a group that are working together where the front person will drop back. Now, that makes sense. If the front person, say, drops back, they're going to do that if it's a group of four or five, because, they're only losing, 30, 40, 50 meters. But if it's a group of 16 or whatever the hell it was, you're going to lose too much space and too much time. So no one was really ready to do it. The race dynamic was interesting.
Yeah, and you have also only 20 seconds per rider you are overtaking. So if it takes you much more time, you also get a penalty. So there's a lot of penalties in there. And they made it. So they had to push plenty of watts.
And because of the history of last year, so many people were worried about getting penalties. In 2022, the referees were brutal, handing out penalties for people who didn't even know what they'd done. And as a pro, it ruins your race. It's game over. Everyone was on edge this year. No one was wanting to make any mistakes. I'm sure Taylor was crapping herself because she lost her bottle so many times. That was could have been, should have been, would have been a littering penalty if she would have been seen. So, you're under so much pressure as an athlete not to put a foot wrong. And so especially in this group situation, I do think that the overly strict application of the rules in the last few years scared everybody and just made everybody super conservative, which meant you ended up with this massive group. This group didn't do anything dynamic. No one dared to overtake each other. And as you said, it was only kind of in the second half after the turn at Harvey that Laura's like, I need to put my bike legs in. I have no choice. I'm going to move forwards. And then her and Lisa Norden and Daniela Reif, who are all power bikers, who all had to do the same thing, acted, and then they created their own little group. But yeah, I think the way the rules were applied does hurt the show a little bit, does impact the dynamics of the race and the strategy. So yeah, maybe something to look at for the rulemakers. You know, of course, we don't want people taking unfair advantage, but sort of applying the rules in a maybe a more constructive way and fair way is something to consider for the future.
Absolutely. And we really need to talk about the bottle thing. It was pretty well discussed during the race. And almost every athlete was afraid of losing their bottles. As Ironman said, that there will be subsequent penalties for unintended littering. So, and a lot of athletes lost their bottles because they were too thin for the bottle cages, actually. I don't think, and I think no one thinks that Ironman will change the bottles. So what could be a solution for this?
Well, first of all, I want to just say it's absolute bullshit that this is a world championship event and Ironman can't provide normal drink bottles, like normal cycling drink bottles, for which all of the bottle cages are designed. Up until 2 years ago, Ironman was giving you know, Powerbar or whoever the sponsor was supplying normal bottles. And what is wrong with that? You know, it's a cost cutting that they're doing to try and bring stupid PET bottles, which is great from a cost saving point of view and perhaps a recycling point of view. Fair enough, but they don't fit in bottle cages. And to be honest, actually, from what I understand from Sam Laidlow from last year, this is how the whole bottle in the chest thing started. It's because, well, I can't put these bottles that they give us at the aid stations in my bottle cages, so where do I put them? Well, where they put them is they put them down the front of their jersey, and lo and behold, we saw that there was a major aerodynamic advantage, which was unexpected, I think, by everybody, but became obviously probably the biggest aerodynamic tuning of 2023. But yeah, it's crazy. But the bottle thing, to be honest, I just think it's a little bit dumb that that for this race and this race only, and it's the World Championship event, that they don't provide normal drink bottles. So, you know, and I think, you know, proper drink bottles can be collected, they can be recycled, they can be re-gifted, they can be washed and reused. So I don't see a reason why you can't. And if a sponsor like Powerbar, whoever normally does this, wants to produce some Kona special bottles, I'm sure they don't get wasted. So, yeah, what's the solution? I mean, moving into next year, what will we do? We'll probably prepare some special bottle cages that can take a PET bottle. But I just think the situation's dumb.
Yeah, totally dumb. Because, also giving penalties for unintended littering, that is like something, okay, you hand out a bottle that just doesn't fit in your cage and you really, really don't do anything wrong. And then you get a penalty, about 5 minutes. And as you already said, you are losing the race with this penalty because of a bottle.
Absolutely. That's something. And I think from a safety perspective as well, again, coming back to Kona, I mean, people die from being dehydrated. Like, and dehydration is so crazy, such a major point on this race course when you're riding in the lava fields. So I think there's a due diligence required from the race organizers to ensure that the athletes get hydration, can hydrate. And the fact that they know that they're supplying bottles that fall out of the majority of athletes' bottle cages, you know, they can say, oh, it's up to the athlete to make sure it doesn't fall out. Well, I would say, well, this is the only race on the planet where you're providing PET bottles. Don't do it. Or make a rule that you have to refill your existing bottle or something. But, you know... Yeah. It has to be guaranteed that you don't lose your bottles, because if you do, it also becomes a health concern. So I think it's absolutely something that needs to be addressed in one way or another. But, yeah, let's see what they come up with. Otherwise, like we said, we'll probably do some funky things and for next year.
Yeah, I started at the Ironman Barcelona a few weeks ago, and we had the same bottles as the athletes in Kona, and it was the same for us. All the bottles flew out of the cages when you had a little bump in the road, and it's also a kind of safety thing, because when there are bottles rolling all over the street and you are riding in aero position and you have to look on the streets and you see those bottles and you ride over it. I saw one guy just fell with the bike because he slipped on a bottle, and it's super dangerous. And I think so too. They just need to.
And if you look at sort of Ironman's commercial model is to pack as many athletes onto a course as possible and maximize their income. You know, you've got 2,500 plus athletes on the course, all of which have standard bottle holders, all being given non-standard bottles. And exactly like you said, what happens? Well, you probably end up with a couple of thousand bottles rolling around on the street. Mm. So the chance of someone hitting something, coming off their bike, causing a crash is high. So again, a safety concern, a health concern that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but besides that, the women put down one hell of a great show. I love the way Daniela and Lisa put down their races or finished their races, because they knew at a certain point that this will not be a podium performance, but every time they're racing with all of their heart, and you can see it and you can hear it when for example, Lisa gives interviews and she's saying like, oh, it's so great to be here. And it's so great to be on a start line with so many strong women and just experience this race. And yeah, I think from our side, we can say a big, big thank you to all of the women competing in Kona this year, because it was an absolute pleasure to watch this race.
And like we said earlier, such an exciting race, such an amazing result, what a battle along the way with a lot of suspense, and it was great. And just to reiterate what you say, you know, Daniela Reeve, Lisa Norden, you know, they will both say to you, finishing in Kona is a challenge in itself. And I remember Daniela Reeve saying to me specifically once, you know, I said, you know, you've won so many races, you know, are you content when you don't win, or is it like a downer? And she said, no, not at all. She said, if I've given my all and I get to the finish and that was my best performance on that day, I'm super stoked. And if that's first place or 10th place, that's the best I could give on that day. And Daniela, you could see she was happy when she crossed the line. Satisfied, and she gave her all, and she knew on that day the other girls were faster. She didn't have the best day. She didn't have the power. But, you know, that's what the island brought her. That's what her body brought her on that day, and that was the best she could do. And I think, you know, it's a credit to turn up and to finish, and that's what it's all about, and to be part of this great sport. And, I think hats off to every athlete out there, even those that didn't make it to the finish, because that's even more tragic, because you've done all of the effort to get there. It was a great race.
And it was the last attempt on the big island for Daniela. And I'm super excited to see her racing Nice next year, because it's a totally different kind of course. And already excited for the women's race. So now the season for most of the athletes is over, and when is normally the best time or the usual time for the athletes coming back to the wind tunnel, optimizing their aero positions and test new things?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, when does development begin? You know, I think there's that common saying, you know, after the race is before the race. And it was funny, this week already, Daniela Reef sent me a message saying, hey, asking me a whole bunch of questions about the Ironman Nice setup and what she should be doing. And so we had a big old conversation on how we can optimize the setup for Nice. So the answer is, it started already, you know, especially through the winter. Yeah. You know, if you're going to change position on the bike somewhat, you know, in Nice, it's a bit more of a climbing circuit. Maybe you need to make some changes, maybe not. But, you know, getting that new position, focusing on that kind of riding, and then training that throughout the winter on the home trainer, is super important. So yeah, from our side, the development has already begun.
Yeah, I guess we will take our listeners with us to the next wind tunnel test and give you a bit more insights about what we're doing there. And if you have any questions about wind tunnel testing, aero optimization, or just if you want to level up your aero game, check out our website, our social media channels. Yeah, we're happy to hear from you and read from you. And thank you, JP, for this great episode talking about the women's race in Kona. And I guess we're going into off-season now also.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think we might have one more podcast this year. We'll have to have a look. But there's going to be some very exciting news coming at the end of this, at the end of November, 27th of November.
Yes.
There will be very big announcement. Perhaps that will trigger another podcast, but let's see. But in the meantime, thank everybody for listening. Thanks for your support. Keep following us and listening to our and reading our content. And if you want to know about aerodynamics and performance, check out what we've got on offer. And if you don't find the answers you're looking for, as Daniel said, write us, send us messages, and we will answer you and bring you the answers to the questions that you have.
Stay tuned, stay aero, and enjoy all the rides.